This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at Teachers Week 2017, held at Faith Builders on August 1 through 4.
Welcome to Improving Communications with your fellow staff. Why did you come to this workshop? You don't have to answer that question. I see some grins on your faces. Did you think about it that 100 years ago we would not have needed this workshop? Because 100 years ago, they were probably mostly just one-room schools, which meant only one teacher, which meant that you didn't have all your troublesome staff to deal with. However, that also meant that you didn't have your staff to partner with and to learn ideas from and to get to know and to help improve you. So now we're privileged to partner with other teachers. But since we're human, and we're all human, we sometimes find it difficult to get along with other people. And that's why we need to work on relationships. This workshop for me was born out of a desire to share with you some of my story of what it's been like to teach under particularly administrators and also working with other ladies and men. I've taught, it depends how you count. I told my workshop on Tuesday that I've taught, I guess, a total of about 15 years. I've been married for the last seven, so the last seven of those have been either a couple days a week at the beginning, and now I'm down to a couple classes, a class once a week or a class every other week. But before that, I taught 6 years in the classroom under different administrators. I've taught at three different schools, and at the first school I taught at, my church school, I taught under three different administrators, just at my church school. So I've taught under some different administrators, and it's been an interesting journey. And one of the things I realized as I taught, and as I even, well, I pretty much started teaching right out of school, so I realized that I'm what some people call a strong woman. And I don't know exactly the best way to define a strong woman, but one of the giftings that God has given me is the gift of leadership. And that can be interesting in our culture. I have a strong personality. My mom was also a strong woman, so I didn't really realize that I was different from some women. Not all women are strong women, and that's a good thing. We're all different. God created us all different. But I didn't realize that I was different in that gifting because my mom was a strong woman, and my dad did great with us. He would put his foot down if he didn't want mom to do something, and she was fine with that. And the same for me. I have a great relationship with my dad and appreciated his authority. And then I taught under some administrators who were a little challenging, let's just say. And I found out that it's not always easy living out who God made me to be as a strong woman. Probably a lot of you are strong women simply because you're in the position of leadership as a teacher. So here's the challenge. How can strong women, and I think maybe even particularly plain strong women, live well in our plain culture? As I was preparing for this workshop, I was trying to think of just the right title. I thought maybe it could be called Relating to Your Fellow Teachers, or How to Be a Person of Leadership Under a Leader, or A Strong Woman in a Plain Society. I thought of all kinds of titles. But I looked up the definition of communication, and I thought that this title fits well for our topic today, because communication is the means of connection between people or places. So we'd like to look today at how we as women who are born with an innate desire to communicate can do well in our positions of leadership. First of all, I'd like to look at our relationships with administrators. We're going to be looking at three different categories today: relationships with administrators, relationships with the other women in our school. Do any of you have a woman administrator? No, we all have men administrators. So I was thinking of the administrators as being men, and then relating to other women, and then also relating to other men in the school who may or may not be the administrator. How many of you have ever played Follow the Leader? Everybody has? We've all played Follow the Leader, where you have one person up front and everyone else goes behind, and when the leader jumps over the log, you jump over the log. When the leader stops, you stop. At least that's how it's supposed to happen. Sometimes there's bickering and fighting. And how is a leader supposed to lead if no one follows? Have you ever seen a leader and Follow the Leader trying to keep everybody happy? Someone says, I can't jump that high. I can't run that fast. Slow down. Because they're just not quite sure about how their leader is leading. A leader has a very interesting position of trying to keep everyone happy. And we want to look at that a little bit today. Have you ever wished that you could be an administrator? I'll be very honest with you today. I have already. I just thought, if only I could be the administrator, then I could take charge and things would just be wonderful. Well, I thought that until I married an administrator, and then I decided that no, I'm quite happy to let him do the administrating. But I have already I've already thought about what it would be like to be an administrator. And maybe some of you will be someday. Who knows? One of the things I have to think about, though, is what is life like in their shoes? What is it really like to be an administrator? Have you ever thought of all the people they have to keep happy? We think follow the leader is a childish game, and I guess it probably is. But if you think about that from an administrator's perspective, what if the administrator says jump and nobody jumps? It's not very easy being an administrator and keeping the students, the parents, his teachers, that's just, and many other people happy, his community, his church. He has a lot of people to work with and work around, and you all are only one component of that. But I think stepping into an administrator's shoes would be a lot bigger than what we actually think it would be. It's not just your leader that you need to follow. Playing follow the leader involves teamwork. If you don't follow the person in front of you, the person behind you will not be able to follow the leader. So it's all of us working together. The way you respond to your leader affects how he leads. If he says jump and you don't jump, or you jump a little bit, or you jump the other way, it's going to make it more difficult for him to lead. How do we, as strong women, submit well to our leaders and support them? I'd like to talk a little bit about this question. Are you being submissive or supportive? How do we, as strong women, submit well to our leaders and support them without squashing who is really inside? And one of the challenges that I faced, and I wish I would have known a lot of this stuff before I started. I wish I would have known some of what it's like to be an administrator. I wish I would have known more how, well, I knew in part how men can be intimidated by strong women. There are strong men who can stand up to them and don't mind them, and thankfully I've married one of those. And my dad was one of those. But there are some men who are really intimidated by strong women. And it can be very challenging to know how to relate to them well, how to help them lead. Because when I'm under a man, I really don't want to lead. When I'm around women when I'm supposed to be leading, I enjoy it. But I don't feel like I always have to be the leader. So how can we help them understand that while we are teaching under them, we don't want to lead? Sure, maybe we would enjoy having like one position of leadership, but we really don't want to be over everything. So to try to explain this, I'm going to compare submission versus supporting. Another thing I realized growing up was that I had, in a lot of ways, been taught a different definition of submission than some women. And maybe some of you were taught along the same long lines as I was. But to me, being submissive was always acting, the word I thought to use to compare the two was supporting. So my mom and dad taught me that being submissive was not just being a wet dish rag and not doing anything or not voicing my opinions, but instead it was looking how I can support the leaders over me. So I'm going to compare these two, and hopefully you understand a bit more of what I'm trying to say. Maybe you won't agree with them, and that's okay. This was how I attempted to define them. So, and I'm kind of looking at the negative side of submission for my purposes of comparing them. However, I certainly hope that my husband says I'm a submissive wife. And I ask him occasionally, he says yes. So I believe in submission. I'm kind of, I wasn't sure what other word to use. So it's not like I am against submission. Believe me, I'm not. I wholeheartedly think that we as women need to submit, but maybe go beyond submission. So maybe an example for you is, I told you a little bit about how I'm still teaching some classes at our school. And since my husband is the principal, that's a little bit easier because I can kind of pick and choose the classes that I'm able to teach. But I have two children and a third one on the way. And the longer I teach, the harder it is for me to get into school. So I have high school girls devotions every other week, and that's in the morning. And it's kind of difficult to get my children up, get them combed, get breakfast stuffed down their throats, and get to school in time to have girls' devotions. But it's something I want to do. And even more than that, I know it's something my husband really wants me to do. So to me, I could be submissive to him and go about doing my things at home, but it feels to me like I want to go a step further. I don't always do this willingly. I want to go a step further and support him at his school. So maybe that can kind of help you, give you an example of what I'm talking about. So submission is the act or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. And you see women who do this. They just kind of yield and give in because that's what they think they have to do, or they don't really know what else to do. Whereas supporting is giving assistance to. It doesn't mean that you're not yielding to your authority, but you're going beyond that and saying, yes, I want to be in submission to you, and I'm going to support you. So I think supporting, or maybe my definition of submission, is going beyond submission. Secondly, submission often means acting out of fear. And I had to think of a story I just heard recently of a young lady who, years ago, probably 20 years or around that amount of time, came here to Faith Builders when Faith Builders was just starting, and she expected to come as a student. Well, when she got here, they were sitting in a meeting, and one of the men who was in charge asked her and two other ladies if they could teach at the school instead of taking the apprenticing program like she had planned to do. And so she's trying to process this. This is not what I planned to do when I came here. I was not planning to come here to teach. And in addition to that, the man said to her, and I think you would do well at first and second grade. And that's just what she did. And she said years later, she realized that she really didn't feel like she had any choice in the matter. And for the most part, she was fine teaching first and second grade. But she never realized that it would probably have been okay for her to say, or at least to think about it, to talk to him about it and say, well, I really wanted to take the apprenticing program. Perhaps I would be willing to teach. But it never even crossed her mind that she could do anything other than just do exactly what he said. And I think she was fine doing that. But years later, she was reflecting on this and realizing that it would have been okay for her to at least speak up and talk about it. So we don't need to act out of fear. Instead, we can act for the other's good. Instead of only doing what you're told because, oh, I'm just afraid this what will happen if I don't, you can sometimes do exactly the same thing, but think, you know what, I really want to do this because this is going to help my administrator. This is going to help the man over me. It's really just looking at it from a different angle. Sometimes being submissive is really very selfish because I'm only thinking about me rather than giving to my leader or those around me. A lot of times when we submit, we feel like we have no say in the matter. I spent a lot of time talking with a high school girl who felt like she had to do exactly what her dad said. And she had really no say in the matter. If he told her to wear a certain color dress, that's what she would do. And it felt to her like she couldn't talk. She couldn't even ask for anything other than what he said. She could only do exactly what he told her to do. Rather than feeling that your input is valued. And that's what I always felt with my dad. I used to get teased in my family for asking questions and asking for this and asking for that. But I at least felt like I could ask. And then I was okay if Dad said no, that was fine. But just the fact that I could ask, that I could give suggestions, felt to me like my input was valued and that I as a person was valued. you grudgingly do whatever you're told when you're kind of in this I have to submit mode, rather than making a choice to support your administrator. I have to think of the little boy under you grudgingly do whatever you're told. The story of the little boy who misbehaved at home or at school, I'm not sure where it was, and got punished for what he was doing. And after he got his spanking, he said to him, he mumbled to himself, "But I'm still standing up inside." Are you still fighting against your administrator, or are you saying, "I'm going to make the choice to support my administrator and do whatever it is," or any leader that you may have? So whose agenda are you really trying to portray? Your own agenda, or that of your school, your community, your church, and your administrator? And what does this look like? How are you going to support your administrator this year? Any comments or questions so far? Feel free to ask me questions, make a comment.
Many times, I don't believe an administrator will ask you to do a variety of tasks or whatever, because technically it may be his position to do them. But I've discovered that offering to help with something, normally they're more than willing to let you help out with something that they might not actually come and ask you.
That is a very good perspective, Renee. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but I hadn't even thought about the side that an administrator feels kind of odd coming to you and say, "Will you do this?" because he thinks he should be doing it. Very good point. Yes. Thank you. Someone else? Okay. Let's move on into different kinds of administrators. So for our purposes today, I came up with three categories of administrators. Now, these are not all inclusive. These are kind of the administrators that I tend to serve under. And sometimes a man will lead differently in one situation than he will in another situation. So categories aren't necessarily that good, but I'm using some for our purposes today. So the three kinds for today are authoritative leaders, passive leaders, and natural leaders. Like I said, there could be more, or these could be all wrong, but this is what I'm using today. I'd like for you to think a little bit. Which kind of administrator do you think you have? Because it's going to be helpful to you to try to understand. Maybe you'll know better once I've finished this slide and we've talked about it a little more, but ponder in your mind. Do I think I have an authoritative leader, a passive leader, or a natural leader? Let me give you some definitions, and maybe this will be helpful. But it's always helpful for me to know where someone is coming from. When I know where they're coming from, then I know how I can support and work for them. If I can sit and think, I wonder why they're doing that. Oh, it's because they're, then I can understand and accept it much better than if I decide, I don't know why they're doing this. This is ridiculous. This shouldn't be. I shouldn't have to teach under a man like this. It really doesn't seem to help matters at all. But if you can step back and say, why are they doing what they're doing? And how can I support them in their role? It can be really helpful, at least to me. We are going to look at why each leader may be leading the way that he is. In order to follow a leader well, it's helpful to understand where he is coming from. And I think I can say that I worked under all three different categories of administrators, and they have all proved very interesting, and I've learned something from working under them. First of all, let's look at the authoritative leader. This is the kind of leader who will lead regardless of who is following. It doesn't matter who's following. He is out there leading, and you can come along or you can't. He probably won't even look to see if you're coming. He just has his direction and he's going. That's the extreme, at least. What are his strengths and weaknesses? Probably one of his strengths is that he is just going to lead no matter what people say about him. That's actually a strength. A weakness is that he leads no matter whether or not people are following him, and that he has his agenda that he wants to accomplish, and he's going to get it accomplished, and everyone else might be hurt or left in the dust. But the strength is that he will lead in the face of opposition, in the face of people complaining about him. So that is actually a strength. I think we tend to have a lot of authoritative leaders because that's what our leaders have been taught to be. They've been taught to take authority and to step up to the plate. And so that's just how he's been taught. Perhaps he was asked by the school to fill this role. And while he may be somewhat scared, he's just going to stand up and take his leadership. So maybe he wouldn't naturally tend to lead like that, but he's been asked to fill this role, and he thinks that's what it looks like to fill the role. Or maybe he's trying to lead according to the expectation of his community. Maybe that's how he sees his church leaders leading, and that's just what he thinks his community expects of him. And so that's how he's going to lead. And he's probably leading in the best way he knows possible. He's probably doing his best, not realizing how he comes across to other people or how he may be hurting people in his path. He's probably doing the best that he knows how. So how can you respond? I'm sorry. Why is he being controlling and authoritative? And those were some of the reasons that I mentioned. It's what he's been taught, if that's how he's been taught to be, or he's been asked to fill this role, or that's simply the expectation of the community. How can I respond to an authoritative leader? One of my first suggestions to you to respond to an authoritative leader is to challenge his categories. So I'd like to tell you a story of something that happened to me. I had taught 5 years at my home school, and then I came here to Faith Builders and took the TAP program for 2 years. And so I had taught fourth and fifth grade before I came here. And when I went back home, I was hoping to get junior high. I was pretty sure a high school wouldn't be okay, but I was hoping to at least get in junior high. And up to this point, there had always been a male teacher in junior high. And we never had a base salary at our school. We always, I could never tell how they figured out the salary, but it seemed like the men always got paid more than the ladies. So I was stepping into sixth and seventh grade, and you all know that teaching is not about the pay. I was stepping into sixth and seventh grade, and they kind of wanted me to come in there and straighten out all the rowdy boys that happened to be in those grades at the time. And there was, in fourth and fifth grade, there was a new teacher coming in, and he was a male. He hadn't taught at all before, and he had thought about taking the sixth and seventh grade position, but they thought with, partly just because of our experience and because of all the rowdy boys in sixth and seventh grade, it might be best for a first-year teacher not to be in that situation, which made me happy because I wanted sixth and seventh. Well, here's the interesting thing. I found out what my salary was going to be, and the man who was teaching fourth and fifth grade, I found out what his salary was going to be. Well, guess whose was the most? His. By quite a substantial sum. I could not believe this. Like I said, I was not teaching for the money, but, oh, woo. This was interesting. And, okay, so he didn't have any years of experience. He didn't have any education. I don't think he had even graduated from high school. I can't quite remember that point. And he was getting paid more than I was. He told me what his salary was going to be. And if I had kept teaching at this school, our school gave a little bit of an increase every year. So the longer you taught, the more you got paid. And the salary I was going to get when I went back, I think was less or about the same as it would have been if I would have stayed there those 2 years because of the increase. Does it make sense so far? So I just couldn't have this. But I wasn't going to go demand that I get more pay because I was not teaching for the pay, but I just wanted to challenge their category. So I talked to my mom and dad. I was dating my husband at the time. I talked to him, and I called up the treasurer one night, and I just said, I just wonder how you arrived at my salary, and is it similar to what the man before me got? in this position, I just ask a bunch of questions. are you basing my salary on the position, the sixth and seventh grade position? And I also said that if I would have kept teaching there, I would have either gotten about the same, I don't know, it was really close to what I was getting. I just ask a bunch of questions like that. And he thanked me for the call. And a week or so later, he called me back and they increased my salary a couple $100s. And he said, one of the things he said is that money is tight. And you know, every school has that problem. Most schools have that problem, that you only have a certain amount to pay the other teachers. But I couldn't help but challenge their categories. And the couple hundred that I got really didn't mean that much to me. But I was happy that they at least looked at it and evaluated it. And it felt like a way that I could challenge their categories, because it really wasn't fair. I'm not sure what fairness is, and life isn't fair. But I challenge you, don't be afraid to challenge the categories of your authoritative leaders by asking questions. Ask lots of questions. It feels like you're going to have to stick out your neck and be ready to get it chopped off, and then stand up and stick it out again. And I think actually the worst thing you can do is stick out your neck and get it chopped off and then not stick it out again. Because then they're going to think that they've now put you in your place and that's the end of that, and they're now the leader. Think about the woman in Luke 18, the widow who kept going to the judge. And I was reading that passage this morning. It doesn't really explain why she kept coming back to the judge or what the judge had told her. But she kept going to the judge again and again and again until he gave her whatever it was that she wanted. I think we need to be like that. Not afraid to challenge people's categories. So if you have an administrative leader, think about why he's doing what he's doing. Think about his strengths and weaknesses. And don't be afraid to challenge his categories, just a little bit at least. We're going to go on to passive leaders. What are some strengths and weaknesses of passive leaders? Let me explain to you maybe my definition of a passive leader is someone who doesn't tend to be out in the front as much, or he doesn't usually lead authoritatively. Instead, he really cares about all the people around him. He tends to be a very sensitive man who is constantly looking back. Are they coming? Are they coming? He really cares about the people around him so much to the point that he can't really lead. It's hard for him to make his own decisions. I taught under an administrator like this who, even his students, if he couldn't get all his students on board, he couldn't move forward. So obviously that's one of the weaknesses of a passive leader. A strength is that if he does make everyone happy, then people are usually very willing to follow. Because we like to follow someone who's doing what we want them to do and someone who makes us happy or makes decisions that we want. So the weakness of a passive leader is that he can't lead unless everyone is coming. But the strength is that when everybody comes, they are with him. Rather than someone who leads an authoritative leader might still be standing up inside, even though they're following him. Often people who follow a passive leader want to be following him, actually. So that is a strength. Why isn't he leading? He's supposed to be the administrator of my school, and it feels like he is not leading. Well, he might be afraid of losing his followers. He's afraid that if he does step out, no one's going to come behind, and to him that would be devastating. Or maybe you or another woman are controlling him. And I can think of examples. I don't know if I have seen it happen in schools as much, but I can think of marriages where you tend to have a passive man and the woman is just wears the pants, as we say. So maybe someone is preventing him from leading. I hope that's not you. If it is, you can think about it. Maybe he's been hurt too many times. Maybe he would have naturally been an authoritative leader, but he's been hurt so many times that he's just kind of given up and is afraid to lead. Maybe he's afraid he'll hurt his other teachers or followers. We have a minister in our church who's he's an older man. I really admire him and look up to him, but he said something one time that helped me to understand passive leaders a little bit more. I would say that he tends to be more of a passive leader. And I don't know that his wife necessarily runs over him, but he's just more of a passive leader. And he often talks about how we should say kind things to each other. And he often tells the men, you should say kind things to your wives. And so I was trying to process this one day, just looking at the marriage relationship. And I thought, you know, I think to him, challenging his wife or asking her not to do something would be saying something unkind to her. And so there might be some passive leaders who are afraid that they're going to hurt you or hurt their students by what they do or say, and so they just kind of tend to step back. So if you can think about those things and why is my passive leader leading the way he is, then it helps you to understand where he's coming from. Strong women can take the lead most easily under passive men. I think those were the most challenging administrators for me to teach under, actually, because I had all these ideas, and let's do this, and let's try that. But I knew if I stepped out and did that too much, maybe I learned the hard way, then my administrator wouldn't lead. And so I think, at least for me, that was the most challenging leader to teach under. How do you respond? Well, first of all, follow your leader. Be one step behind him. This is just incredibly crucial to boost his self-confidence and give him good experience in leading. So the first thing you need to do is make sure you're following him. When he makes a suggestion, no matter how off the wall it is, follow. And one thing you can do is make suggestions. What would happen if we would, or even more importantly, give him suggestions of carrying his ideas out? So if he says one day in your faculty meeting, you know, do you think we could have a quiet hall policy? And you're thinking, no way, my students are way too loud. Then what you really need to do is say, yes, I think we could do that. And what about if we would try this and this, and then make sure your students are the quietest students in that hallway. And that makes him feel like it's his idea to have a quiet hallways, and look at his nice quiet hallways. And it just boosts his self-confidence. So I think maybe even more than giving him suggestions is creatively coming up with ways to help him accomplish his suggestions, because then he'll feel like he's leading. Make it look like his own idea. So here's an example. Jeremy, my husband, is a firefighter, and for some reason he got a gift certificate from the fire company. And I was with him when he got it, but when he came home, or on the way home, he said, what should we do with this? And I was thinking in my mind, let's go out to eat. But I didn't say anything. And after a while, he said, maybe we should go out to eat. And I said, yes, let's! And I don't consider my husband a passive leader, really. But it made him feel like it was his suggestion to take me out to eat. It was his certificate, after all. He could have bought, you know, whatever, hunting gear. He doesn't go hunting. He could have bought fire gear for himself. But he didn't. He wanted to use it for me. But it felt good that it was his own idea. And it's not like I never make suggestions. But that's just one example of allowing your leader to make the suggestion and then wholeheartedly agreeing with it. And now let's go on to natural leaders. This is the kind, I'm not sure if natural leaders is the best term, but it's what I decided to call it. The kind who gets everyone on board while leading. So we have the authoritative leaders who lead no matter who's coming behind. We have the passive leaders who can't lead unless everyone is with them. And then we have the natural leaders who somehow lead and everyone is on board with them, or at least most everyone. You always have a couple who aren't. But somehow they get a lot of people on board with them. Is he perfect? No. He's not perfect. He will always be visionary. I tend to think that my husband tends to be a natural leader. And I think that some men are just born natural leaders. Some men see their dads being natural leaders. Sometimes it's the experiences. But you do have some natural leaders. He will not be perfect. And in fact, he will probably be very visionary and always want to try something new or different. And sometimes Jeremy gets these ideas and he wants to talk about them, and Cedric's hollering, and you know, but I want to hear his ideas. And it's the natural leaders who often tend to be visionary and thinking about these visions or carrying out these visions is what gives them energy. So that tends to be one of the weaknesses of a natural leader. They have all these visions and they want to do them, and you have to come along with them. And a lot of times it's fun. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy variety and challenge, but it can be a weakness. The strength is that most people are on board with them when they're leading. And here comes my little family, Shayna and Cedric. They were so excited that their mommy's going to be teaching. So why is a natural leader natural? Some men, I think, are just born natural. Think about it. You have cooks who are just natural cooks. They can cook wonderful food. And other people take the same recipe and try and try, and it just does not turn out the same. So I think God created natural leaders, and other men have to work a little harder to lead. Just like some of us are natural cooks, and some of us have to work really hard to make a good meal. So how can I respond to a natural leader? Be thankful. Be very, very thankful that you can teach under a man like this. And be thankful that they're not threatened by you as a strong woman. There are just some times when certain men who are leading me or who I'm under as an authority, that it feels like I can just be myself. It's okay to be a strong woman, as God created me to be. And other times I have to rein in that strength a little bit, which is also a good thing. I don't always have to be a strong woman and carry out whatever it is I think that I need to carry out. But there is nothing quite like just being able to be yourself and reveling in that privilege. Do all you can to improve his leadership and make his work lighter. And back to what Renee said, one of the ways I think you can respond under an authoritative leader is to ask for areas of leadership. Ask for a position. You can do this under any of your leaders, really. Ask for a position. Is there something that I can be in charge of? Maybe you want to lead the singing for one morning if your school sings together. Ask for an area of leadership. They might be hesitating to give it to you because they think it's their responsibility. But don't be afraid to ask for those areas of responsibility. So what kind of leader do you have? Maybe you know a little better now, or maybe it's a combination or a different one. And how can you help him be a better leader this year? You as ladies can make a big difference in how your administrator leads, whether or not you know that. I want you to know that. You can make a difference. How you respond to your leader will help him be able to lead or prevent him from leading. How can you help your administrator be a better leader with a better leader this year? One of the things I learned that I need to do is sit down with my administrator at the beginning of the year. I wish I had done this as soon as I started teaching, but it was something I learned that was really helpful to me. So sit down with your administrator at the beginning of the year. What are you going to say to him? Ask him in what ways you can support him. How would you like for me to support you this year? Tell your principal your strengths and weaknesses, your assets and weaknesses. And this was something I did after I graduated from Faith Builders. I taught one more year at my home school, the 6th and 7th grade year. And I sat down with I kind of knew my administrator. He kind of knew me. We would have gone he would have been in high school probably when I was in first grade. So we at least knew who each other was. We were not in the same church. But I just sat down with him, and we had a really good conversation in which I said, I tend to have ideas. Ideas come flying into my mind. And most of the time, I'm not personally tied to these ideas. And I wanted him to know that he might say, well, what should we do for fun month? And I would have all kinds of ideas. Maybe not, if not then, later, these ideas will come into my mind. And I wanted him to know that that's just how my brain works. And that sometimes I will suggest the ideas, sometimes I won't. Because I've learned that if I suggest all my ideas, that doesn't give anyone any chance to give their ideas. So I wanted him to know that I probably will have ideas, sometimes I don't. If he wants, sometimes I will share these ideas and sometimes I won't. And if he wants more ideas, he can ask me for them. And if I give an idea, I usually am not at all offended if someone doesn't take it. Sure, it might be a good idea, but there are other good ideas around too. So I just wanted him to know that. I also told him that I don't want to run over him. He tended to be more of a passive leader, somewhere between natural and passive, probably. I let him know that I did not want to run over him. I don't know if I used those words, but that was the idea. And that I will take no for an answer. I don't mind taking no for an answer. I ask all kinds of questions, and I have some littles who do the same thing. And that doesn't mean that I'm expecting a yes all the time. It's just that I ask questions, and no is a perfectly fine answer. And then, so those are just some of the things that I told my administrator. Ask him throughout the year how you are doing. And I don't remember doing this more than maybe once or twice. I would just, I said, you know, hey, can we talk? How am I doing? Does it feel like I'm supporting you? How am I doing with the other women, with the other teachers? What ways can I better support you? Principals are usually busy, and they may or may not come and talk to you, but they usually don't mind if you come and talk to them. And now some general tips. Communicate with your leaders. Like I said, we would like for them to check in with us. We think they should come and talk with us, but they're busy. But I've found that they don't mind if you come and talk to them. Set up a time when you can talk with them. Let them know about the trouble you're having in your classroom. They want to know, and they don't think, doesn't make them think that you're a horrible teacher or that you're doing everything wrong. They want to be able to help you. I know it's not unusual for my husband to say, oh, I wish they would have just told me sooner before it became such a big problem. They really want to know about the little things and the big things. One thing I want you to remember is that most miscommunication happens because of a lack of communication. We often tend to err on the side of not communicating enough rather than communicating enough. So communicate with your leaders. Secondly, follow your leaders. I'm going to keep stressing this. Sometimes your leader is, when you're playing follow the leader is way up ahead and you need to say, how many steps did you say I should take? You need to ask them. Or maybe the leader needs to look back and see if his followers are coming. Sometimes the leader is going to delegate. But as much as you can this year, lady, follow your leaders. Pray for them. I taught under a passive leader. It was very challenging. I was supposed to be his secretary, and he was the high school teacher and principal. The high school students were misbehaving, and it was an interesting situation. But one of the things my mom told me over and over again, pray for him, Diana. Pray for him. Lord, I can't say it in words. Can you please just listen to my heart? Prayer makes a difference. If you're struggling with your administrator, pray for them every day. Or six times a day, or however long, however many times you need to pray for them. It really does make a difference. Look for the good in your administrator. No matter how perfect or how terrible your administrator seems, there will always be something that annoys you and a gift that each person has been given. Always look for who he really wants to be. He may be authoritative or passive because he's trying to hide what's really going on inside. So look for the good. And I'll tell you a secret, at least it's something I've learned. If you are looking at the negative side of your administrator, you can't focus on the good of your administrator. If you're looking on the good, and or at least trying to look for the good, you're not as likely to see all his faults. I'd rather have people look for the good in me than for all my faults. Whatever you do, please do not talk behind his back. This is incredibly detrimental to a leader. I heard a sermon recently that was about gossip, and one of the things the preacher said is, would you say it in their presence? You shouldn't say something about someone else unless you're willing to say it in their presence. Now, sometimes if you're having a really tough year with your administrator, you do need someone to talk to. For me, that someone was my mom, who was a confidential person who could understand and yet say, well, try this, or pray for your leaders. If you need to find someone like that, please do. That can be helpful. But don't gossip to your students. Don't talk badly about your administrator in front of your students or even to the other teachers. I caution that. But find someone that you can talk to who will be confidential and who can give you advice and support. And lastly, when he asks for your advice, give it. Don't just shrug it off. It makes it very hard for leaders to lead when their followers do not communicate how you're feeling. And I always have to think of the classic youth group example where you're driving along in a van with about 10 other youth and you're hungry and you're going to stop to eat. And I can see you all know about this. The driver up front says, "Where do you want to eat?" And it's silent. Nobody says anything. He's driving a little bit. "Where do you guys want to eat?" And you hear a little bit of twittering in the back, but nobody really gives any suggestions. And so being the driver, knowing that everybody's hungry, he's going to take these people to some restaurant. And so he pulls into a restaurant, and you can almost hear the groans and see the eyes rolling in the back. And I think, the poor man. It wasn't his fault that nobody said anything. So if your leader asks you for advice, give it. Doesn't mean that he'll take it, hook, line, and sinker, or that he'll even do your suggestion, but at least he knows a little bit of how you're feeling. So please, if he asks your advice, give it. So, as you partner with your administrator this year, as you teach under him, support him. These are some general tips that I have for you to think about. And I encourage you to ask God how he would like for you to work on your relationship with your administrator this year. Switching now to relationships with co-teachers. We're going to talk a little bit about men, and then about women, and then about other single men later on. Because most administrators tend to be married men, but it's not always the case. So let's go to relationships with women. You see the circle of chairs up here? I'd like for you to take all the other women who are going to be teaching in your school and put them on a chair in that circle. Think about the other ladies you're going to be interacting with this year. How can you better partner with them? Which one is it that you really need to reach out to? Which one could be a mentor for you? Sometimes relationships just fall into place. Other times you need to work on these relationships. We all find people that we just click with, and it feels so easy to be around them. But maybe you're a new teacher. Find a teacher who has taught a couple more years than you and ask them for some advice. Or maybe you see a teacher who kind of tends to be a loner, perhaps by choice or perhaps out of fear. Share your resources and start a relationship with her. Who is it in that circle that you need to work on partnering with? Here's some ideas that I have for you. Partner with each other. You're at the same school, you're teaching together. Why not share ideas, books, resources, classes? You can always learn something from every person. When we got married, I moved to a new community, and one thing that was very helpful for me, I didn't naturally click with everyone, and relationships are still happening, but it was helpful for me to find one area that I connected with someone. So in one lady, that was sewing. Another lady and I could talk about children. You get the point. There's something you can find in every lady to connect with. You might have to look pretty hard sometimes, and sometimes it just jumps right out. But there is something that you can connect with. Take time to listen to what they have to say. My tendency was always to be too busy to take time for anybody else. By the way, I mean, I had my own agenda. I was going to teach, and then I was going to go home, and I was going to get married that summer. But it was so helpful for me to take time to listen to what they have to say. When you partner with your fellow teachers, you're not as likely to try to do a better job than them. When you realize that we're in this together, we can help each other out. It's not, I can do this better than you, and you do your little thing in your classroom, and I'll do mine. No, we're all in this together. Share your struggles. It tends to be difficult for me to share my struggles when I'm in them. Sure, I can share them afterwards, or at least sometimes. People tend to think I don't struggle much. So one of the things I've learned is that it's helpful for people to hear me say, yeah, that was really hard for me. Or, oh, what shall I do with this student? Share your struggles. It makes us all appear human. Help them to succeed. Do whatever you can to help your teacher be a successful teacher. Because we all like when people help us succeed. At least I like that. I like when someone says, well, try this, and this is how you can do it. And I find out that I can do it. Help your lady teachers to succeed. Accept their ideas. Make them feel valued for what they have to share. Don't always be the first one to give ideas in a meeting, or always think that your idea is best. Allow others to speak first and feel like they are heard. One of the things I learned is that, like I told you before, I have all these ideas coming into my mind. And often, not only do I have the idea, but I have an idea of how to carry it out. So one of the things I found, a way to use my creative energy, is to help other people accomplish their ideas. Most everyone has ideas at some point or another. And rather than shoving their ideas aside and saying, mine is better, I can use my creative ideas to help them fulfill their ideas. Does that make sense? So see how you can help someone else accomplish their idea rather than accomplishing your own idea. Ask them questions. One of the best ways to take interest in someone is to ask them questions. Plan ahead some questions to ask them before going to their classroom. I don't always do this. I don't always have enough brain space for this. But before I go to someone's house, if we've been invited for a meal, I like to think ahead of questions that I could ask them about whatever they're interested in. Sometimes questions just come into your mind, but sometimes you know what it's like. The conversation is just quiet and no one knows what to say. But if I've thought ahead of some questions to ask them, like, how did Sally do today? Or what are you teaching in math tomorrow? Or what are you excited about? What was your favorite part of the day? Or what was your worst part of your day? Think of some questions ahead of time to ask them. Be careful to avoid cliques. It can be easy to be among women and be good friends with only one person or only two people. But think about it. We don't usually allow cliques among our students. We try very hard not to let them have cliques. How can teachers have cliques and expect their students not to have cliques? You lead by example. And lastly, each person has strengths and weaknesses. Like I said before, there's something you can learn from every person. God created each one of us with our special giftings, and sadly we have our weaknesses with those as well. If you focus on the weakness, you'll probably be unable to see and value their strengths. So look at that circle of chairs again and put all your lady teachers in that circle. Which one is it this year that you need to share your struggles with? Which one do you need to help accomplish their ideas? Think about how you can partner with the other ladies in your classroom this year. Any questions or comments so far? Nope, you all want to hear about the single men. Sorry. Relationships with single men. Probably most of you have these in your school, and it can be challenging. I pick single men because that's probably more common in your experience. Some of you may be working with married men. Some of you are working with single men. The first thing I'd like to say to you is, and some of these things I've learned by experience, be careful how much time you spend with them. And I'm thinking alone with them. We as ladies take our emotions with us. We can't really detach our emotions from who we are. So just be careful how much time you spend with them. Really, what are your motives for going and talking with one of the young men at your school? Are you going to ask them for advice, or maybe give them advice, simply to spend time with them? We as women are emotional beings, and we can pretend like spending time alone with them is not affecting us. But most likely our emotions are more involved than we realize. And men can often determine our motives as well. While men are not blessed with the intuition that a lot of women have, they usually have a sense of what we're after. They know why we keep coming to their classroom once a week or every afternoon to find out how their day was going. They catch on pretty quickly. They may appear entirely clueless, but that certainly doesn't mean that they are. So what if you do really need to talk with them? And sometimes you do. Granted, I know that you need to go say, well, you know, I need to send my students over at such and such a time. There are times when you need to talk to men. Do it in sincerity and truth. Do it only as often as necessary. You probably won't need to talk with them every afternoon or every other day. At least I never found that it seemed very necessary. Even though I may have wanted to it sometimes, it didn't usually seem very necessary to have to do it that often. Thirdly, treat them as mature, respectable men. And you're going to have different situations. Some of you may be older ladies working with a younger single man. Some of you may be younger ladies working with an older single man. Maybe you have taught 10 years and the guy is the new man on the block. However, because he is a person created by God, because he is a male, he deserves your respect. So no matter how much better than you think you might be, or like I said, maybe you've taught 5, 10 years and you really know how to do this. That doesn't mean you should treat him like you know how to do this and he doesn't. Treat each person as a respectable young man. Lastly, he may ask for advice on relationships, particularly girl relationships. A lot of men are teaching in the upper grades and do not know what to do with these teenage girls and are coming to ask you for advice. And I think that's good because we as women were there at one point. We know what it's like to be an 8th grader or a 12th grader. But maybe I recommend that you say, well, hey, let's get Jane to come give some ideas too. I think that you could pull in another lady rather than it just being you and this man talking about these relationships. Sometimes that's okay. That happens. But if it happens frequently, say, well, let's get Jane to come along. And the three of you can share together. But when he does ask you for advice, give it. Don't be afraid to say, well, try this with the girls. Or say, well, did you try talking with her? Just don't be afraid to give him some ideas. But I think it wouldn't hurt to pull another lady in. Or maybe you should even say, well, let's go talk to the administrator. I think it doesn't hurt to pull a third person in. It just kind of makes it a little more safe. It kind of puts up a little more boundaries, maybe. Because we as ladies sometimes have a little trouble with those boundaries. And like I said, some men will ask for situations. My husband sometimes calls and says, well, this happened at school. What shall I do? And I enjoy those situations. I enjoy those problem-solving times. And you as a lady probably do, too, where it doesn't come as naturally to men. So don't be afraid to give advice. I'd like to end with the circle once again. Now put all your fellow staff in that circle. For some of you, you might need a much bigger circle. For some of you, there may only be one or two in the circle. However, like I said, 100 years ago, we would not have needed to work on communication with other staff. But today, we're teaching with other teachers. At least most of you are, I'm assuming. Have you ever considered what testimony we leave to our patrons, to our community, and probably most importantly, to our students? By the way you interact with all those people in your circle. The parents can tell whether or not the teachers are getting along. Somehow they get the sense. And more importantly, the students know. The students know if you are supporting your administrator. Somehow they do. You may not say a word, but they can just tell. Your community is watching your school. They see when there's tension between teachers or between teachers, or when the staff is working together and getting along well. When you think about it from that perspective, you as teachers are trying to live out God's kingdom here in this world and can be an example to your students, to your parents, to your communicators. So I challenge you to communicate with joy. I'd like to end again with follow the leader. Remember we talked about following the leader, the little game? We all enjoy watching children play when they're having a great time. when they're playing follow the leader and laughing and jumping and everybody's having a great time. It's so much fun to watch. But it's not very much fun to watch. At least I don't enjoy it when they're bickering and fighting and saying, no, I don't want to do that. Let me be the leader. It was my turn. Do we have to jump that high? It's no fun to watch. What kind of a leader are you being? And what kind of example is your school going to show to your community this year? May you communicate with joy.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.